Okay. Good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam Hilchas Mamrim, Perek Vav Halacha Daled, Chapter 6, Law 4. Don't be confused by the Vav that's afterwards there. Now we talked, the last halacha was that a son has to stand when his father enters the room, and really, as far as the eye can see, when you see your father coming, like a Sefer Torah, like a rabbi, you see him coming, you stand until he passes by. Dalit. Now we get an interesting scenario, which I believe we discussed in the Gemara as well when we learned this. V'ha'av sh'ha'ya talmud b'no. What if the father is a student to the son? So you have two factors playing against each other. The son has to honor the father, and the father has to honor his rabbi, who's his son. So now what do we do? So number one, ein ha'av omed mipnei ha'bein. The father does not get up for the son in spite of the fact that the son is his Rebbe. He's still his father. Avol ha'bein omed mipnei aviv. But the son gets up in front of the father, afal pishu talmido, even though he is his student. It's based on the Gemara in Kiddushin that we learned according to the opinion of Rabbeinu Hananel. It seems to be a machlokes, because what? That's his psak halacha. The Rush over there, and so Rambam is going like that opinion. The Rush commentary on that Gemara says, since those were two shilas that the Gemara had, we did not resolve. If you recall, these were shilas without resolve. So it's a suffix Torah, and you have to be machmir. And what does machmer mean? So they have to get up for each other. So it's the exact opposite. Well, no. So really, Rabbeinu Hananel's way he learned it, and the way the Rambam learned it, we go with the honoring your father takes the precedence. That's where the Rambam went. The Rosh says, no, everybody gets up for a bit. Everybody. We'd be strict on all sides. And the Rush says about Rav Meir from Rittenberg that when he become a great person, he would never have his father come to him, as it were. He wouldn't greet him because he was afraid it would cause a bizarre for the Torah if the father would... the son would have to give honor to the father, and they kind of stayed away from his father. Okay, wow. In other words, he wouldn't like. And you have to remember, in those days they lived far away. When Rabbi Rittenberg was great, but he didn't make a business to visit his father because there'd be issues of him getting up for his.
One of the ways of honoring is visiting.
Yeah, but he'd have to get up for him, and he felt. That would not be the right way. And he didn't want his father. He didn't go to his father, and he didn't want his father to come to him. Wow. Interesting. Okay.
Can we bring something about your parent only brings you into this world, but your rabbi brings you into the next world as well, and so that's a higher priority.
Okay, for the father to get up for his son, that's already an issue.
Right.
It's not so simple. Okay. So that is first idea. Okay, next. V'chayev l'chavdo bishar drachav bishas asiyas maso umatonav asiyas chafotzov. And he has to honor him in other ways at the time when he does what he needs to take care of in business or things like that, as we'll see. Ketzad. What do we mean? In other words, he has to show respect to the father in his business dealings. In other words, hanishma bidvar aviv l'makom. So if, let's say, if people recognize the guy's father in a place where he's at, let's say the guy comes and everybody knows the guy's father. Like, you go to the older men, whatever, they know his dad. And now he needs favors or business deals or whatever. So lo yomar, he shouldn't say, maharuni, can you maybe speed things up a little bit? You know, let's finish the order very quickly. Bishvil atzmi, because I'm in a rush. Patruni, or send me away, bishvilatzmi, because it's something that for my sake. But rather, elami haruni bishvilat. You know, can you take care of it? Because you know, for the sake of my father. In other words, you know, you like my father. In other words, he wants to make it like he's indebted to his father. So you know, can you speed it up? You know my father, right? So for my father, you would do a favor. So it's like you're doing me a favor for my father. And that's a way of showing our honor for the father. Patruni bishalaba, let me go because of my father. In other words, always try to use your father's good graces. And that's assuming your father has good graces. But in other words, you want to show, it's like to show to the father, it's like respect beyond even in the father's presence. Because other people will treat you nicely because of your father, so that shows respect for your father.
If they're working together, or if the son employs the father, does he have to defer to him?
What do you mean defer? What do you mean defer?
The son might be giving the father some employment, and the father might have an idea of how the business should be run, but it's the son's business.
This is the son's business. It's not the father's business to tell him how to run his business. He has to be respectful to his father, but he doesn't have to. That's not kibud av aim.
You can't contradict him.
It's not kibud av aim. Kibud av aim, as we're defining, is you do things for your father. You listen to your father only in so far as doing things for him. Your parent does not run your life. Right. Okay, and that's the difference. So you own the business. You own the business. It's your business. You have to be respectful to your father. But you don't have to listen to his opinion. That's a very important thing you got to realize.
You can't contradict. In
no, that contradiction is more like halachic issues, views. You know, the father says, you know, I think you should be open 2 hours early. So you go, you know, thanks for the advice, Dad.
Right.
And that's all. And if he keeps pressing it, if he's not a clever father, he's pressing it. Well, he says, well, you know, I run the business and I think it should be run this way. Right. And that's all. It's not like... it's not the father's area to meddle in. It's his personal life. And there's nothing in honoring parents that you have to do what they want you to do, how to run your life. You have to do what they want you to do to help them with their life, but not to run your life. That's important. You so. La'olam yichlal dvarav shuchoshesh bichveid aviv umishyore mimenu. A person should always, incorporate his words to show concern for his father and be fearful for him. So I guess, you know, if let's say they know he's not gonna be listened to, then I guess you don't use your father, his graces for that.
Right.
Okay. In other words,
that would be an embarrassment.
Yeah. So you don't want to do things like that. So you have to be careful on that point. Okay, next. Hey. V'chayiv l'chabdo afilu achermos. You have to honor a parent even after he has died. Ketzad. Haya omer dvar shmua mipiv. If you say something in his name, let's say halacha, your father had a very nice dvar Torah, he always said. So, you know, my father used to say the following dvar Torah, whatever. Lo yomar, you don't say kach omer abba. This is what father said. El omar, kach omer abba mori ani kaporas mishkavo. You say, so said my father, my Rebbe, and I should be atonement for his mishkavo, for his lying down. Yes, we had it. I'm telling you, all that. Which means that any evil that still is to befall his soul should come upon me. If he has to suffer anymore, I should get it. So if Dad has to get a little Gehenna, so remember everything, is distilled when it comes down here. So, you know, something, suffering Gehenna, so when you come down here, it means...
Better get in here.
No, it means, you know, you got stuck in rush hour traffic for 3 hours. You know, it's never as bad, but if you get it like that here, it avoids much worse over there. So you say, already kaparas mishkavo. So if my father needs to get any suffering over there, I should have, you know, certain sufferings that will be an atonement for that. But hold on. When do you say this? B'med Ramamorim, when is this said? B'toch shneimasar chodesh lachem risoso. It's within the first 12 months after the father passed away, because that's when the father's being judged very severely. Of Allah shneimasar chodesh, but after 12 months where the judgment is finished, he got what he got coming. Even the most wicked person doesn't get judged more than 12 months. Aymer, from now on when you mention your father's name, you say, Zichrono l'chaye ho'olam haba. He should be remembered for life in the world to come. That's the way Rashi learns it. The Shulchan Aruch adds that even when you write your father's name, you should write that. And you write that. And the Taz writes the Nusach of the Gemara, the Nusach, the way the Gemara has it, is Zichrono Livracha, his memory should be for a blessing, L'chaye Oilum Haba, for life to the world to come. L'fikach Eilei HaChosnim, so now, people when they write things, you know, it's a lot to write when you're writing, so you do the, what do you call it, the first letters, the Rashi Tevis, the abbreviate, the acronym for it. So he says, so there are those who have a Zayin Lamed Hey, hey. So, which would be Zichrono Lechaye Holam Haba. But they said they're missing one of the Lamids. It really should be Zion Lamid Lamid Hey, hey. Zichrono Levracha Lechaye Ha'olam Haba. Anyway, different ways of writing it. And now many nowadays just do Zal, Zichrono Levracha, kind of that Lechaye Olam Haba. I haven't seen it anywhere. Maybe Sephardim do it, but I don't see it by Ashkenazim. Even, you know, if it's a tzaddik, then zichron tzaddik levrach, the kodesh levrach. I've never seen where lechayi olam haba. We go zichron levrach, and you should say zichron levrach. Whenever you refer to your parent in any context, remember my father used to take me to ball games. Remember my father, zichron levracha, used to take me to ball games. You're mentioning his name. Maybe over here, maybe in this context when you're saying over Dvar Halacha, maybe you have to say more. But, in the Hasidic world, when you speak about a Rebbe, you use which term? Zechuso Yogein Olenu. His merit should be a protection for us. That's when you say something in the name of a Hasidic Rebbe, or a Tzaddik like that, you say that. So this, but obviously, so you have a way to honor your parents. A lot of times people, you know, when they're reminiscing, oh, I remember my dad this, my dad that, you know, you should add on at least Zichrona Lebracha, or in English, his memory should be a blessing. Some all say, Allah Shalom, he should be in peace, but, you know, either, there should be some nice title appended after the father's name. Okay.
So they don't bring 11 months, they bring 12?
Well, you don't know. What do you mean? We don't say Kaddish more than 11 months, but...
You presume.
I hear what you're saying. Well, it says within the first 12 months. Yeah. That's what he says. Vav. It doesn't matter a man or a woman. They're obliged to show the reverence and honor for a parent. Doesn't matter. The Pesukim already told us that. Ella, however, there is a difference. Shehaish, the man, the son, yesh belad alasos, he always has the ability to do it, and there's nothing can constrict him from that. But the woman can't always do it. Why? There's other dominions over her, such as her husband, who she has to take care of him first. When a woman gets married to a man, her first responsibility is to listen to her husband and do what her husband wants. And what he needs. And therefore, she can't tell the husband just, I'm going to my father and taking care of him, if the husband does not approve. So therefore, she cannot be obliged in all these things. Again, a wise husband would still allow her to. But again, if push comes to shove, the husband would say, I don't want you to go there. I need you to take care of my home. That's what I married you for. And she is subjugated to his needs, the husband's needs. However, Lefikov, therefore, Nisgarsha, what if she gets divorced from the husband, his alma, or she becomes widowed from him, then the woman is, Areishnam, then two of them, the man and the woman, meaning say this woman who's no longer married, and a regular man, even if he is married, they are shoving, they are equal in terms of their responsibility for parents. Now, again, when you are married, if the husband is not particular, if the husband says, I don't care, if you want to go to your parents, you can go, I'm fine, I'm learning at night anyway in the yeshiva. So, I'm not home anyway from 7 to 10 at night. If you want to go, you could go. Then she's obliged in whatever a man would be able to do, provided she's back home by 10 o'clock. Okay, Zion. Ad heichen hu kibud aveim. How far reaching is honoring a father and mother go? So, these are examples that the Gemara gave, if you recall. Afilu natlu kishel zehuvim shalo. Let's say your father and mother took a sack of money. And just threw it in front of him into Niagara Falls. Lo yachli mem, you may not shame them. Okay? Now even though we said, and also, the lo yitzar bifnehem.
Yitzak.
Or now it's different. Yes, below is a different one. Yitz oak or scream before them. Lo yichos connect them. Don't get angry in front of them. Eliyakabul gzeres hakasuf. Accept the decree of the pasuk. The pasuk says you got to honor your parents. Finished. Veyishtok and be silent. However, even though Rambam already paskened earlier in Halacha Gimel that honoring a father does not have to come from your money. And this would seem to be coming from your money because he's throwing your money out. So we'll see in a minute, the son cannot scream out or embarrass or shame, even if it was his money, because there's a difference between honoring and giving pain. Even if the father is causing him to lose all his money, the son is still not allowed to cause pain to his father. So now obviously after the father throws it in, you can't yell and scream at him, because what was, certainly if before the father's gonna throw it out, he could do what he can to stop him. He could yell at his father and say, "Dad, stop, don't do that." Because there, in other words, before you've lost the money, you could do what you have to do to not lose the money.
Yeah.
So, and what would you do if a stranger went and took your money and was about to throw it into the Niagara Falls?
He's tourist to creek.
You'd scream and yell at him. Say, "Hey, get out! What do you think you're up?" Because you're gonna do what you can to save that money, right? So you could do the same thing to your father as long as he hasn't thrown it in. Once he's thrown it in, so what's it gonna help? What's done is done. Now you can just, keep insulting him for that. However, you may definitely serve him papers and take him to court and have him pay you back, because that has nothing to do with not showing respect and honor. Your father has to abide by the Torah. Just because he's your son doesn't give him the rights to throw your money away. And according to Jewish law, if a person throws someone's money away, he's taken to court, he has to pay back. You can certainly take your parent to court if they have taken money from you or cheated you in any way, and unfortunately, you do have certain parents who could do that to their kids. So you could definitely take them to court, but you must be respectful and honoring them in the due process of taking them to the court.
He says his money. This is the son's money we're talking about?
Yeah, the father took his money.
But if you see your parent just throwing away their own money,
that's not your money, even though you think you're going to inherit it. But that's not going to help. There, you could suggest, "Ma, you sure you want to throw your money away? It's a valuable thing. You might need it," something like that. But it's their money. So what? You have any say so for what they want to do? So therefore, you have to. You can't insult them. Can't embarrass them. Okay. That's how far honor goes. Heichen mara. What about fear, reverence? So I feel how you love. Now there's a brackets here, but we could say feel how you love begadim chamudas. Even if you were wearing very precious garments, and you're sitting in front of the middle of the dais, in front of the whole congregation, in a very honorable position. And then your father and mother comes right to you, and they rip your garments up right in front of everybody. They smash you in the head. They spit in your face, all publicly humiliating you. You may not humiliate them back, but you must be silent. Okay? However, again, you could take them to court afterwards. Okay? It's interesting, though. You don't have to be silent if somebody else is doing it to you. Somebody else is doing it, you can yell and scream at them.
That makes sense.
Paul's going to say, you're not a stone. You're not a stone that you can't react. You can react. However, it's your parents, you're not allowed to. Again, you could take them to court. But
you can leave.
You could run away. Yeah. Do what you want. They're insulting you. You could leave. You don't have to stand there and take it for another 15 minutes. You can walk away, but you still have to be respectful to your parents. Okay? You have to show fear and awe for the king who has commanded you to behave this way. What if a human king made a rule or did something to you that gives you much greater pain? So what could you do? You wouldn't be able to jump around and complain and you know, make all, you know, movements to show your displeasure, Badover, right? If the king does it, you know, you have to pay your taxes, right? If the czar goes in and he sends his guards to take your money, what are you going to do? Right? Something you could do. So guess who's really doing it? It's Hashem. Remember, if Hashem says you have to honor your parents, he says Hashem is coming in and taking away your money. Right? Certainly the creator who created everything, we have to listen to what he wants. He says you can't shame your parents. You can go to court, but you can't shame your parents. Chetz. Okay, even though this is what's being commanded, and you see what a father, what to what limits the children have to respect the parents. Still, asur la'adam la'achbid ulo al banav. A person should not make his yoke oppressively heavy upon his children. In other words, to act, to request too much honor that's going to break the kids, as it were. Uladaktek b'chvodim amas, to be so particular, meticulous for the honor that they have to give him. Why? He should not bring them to a stumbling block where they may just say, I'm not doing it. And they'll rebel. You have to know how much you could ask a kid to do. And therefore better, it's better for parents many times to be moichel and hide, as it were. If, let's say, the child did say something that wasn't the best, sometimes it's better to be ignoring it. Sha'av shemachal al kvoto, because a parent who foregoes their honor, kvoto machal, the honor is allowed to be foregone. And what the benefit is, the child will not be punished if he is not honored. You have to remember, children who do not honor their parents, God will punish them. So I guess some parents love their kids, so parents has two ways to go. They can say, well, I'm going to make sure to teach you how to honor me properly. And you'll get the, remember, there's a mitzvah. If you do honor your parents properly, you get a mitzvah. If you don't, you get an aveir. So there's two ways to do this. You can say, well, listen, I don't know if he's going to be doing such a good job. He'll probably be a big sinner in this. I'm moichel. I forgo the honor. Finished. Once the parent forgoes the honor, the kid, no matter how bad they are, they don't get punished. Which is, a parent loves their kid. They don't want to see their kid get punished in the next world for that. On the other hand, he's not getting rewarded because he ain't doing any mitzvahs. So you may have a parent that says, listen, I'm going to make a point of showing the child what he should be doing to honor me properly. So it depends on the kid and the parent and everything else. Right? But don't do it too much. If your mom is, you know, okay, get up, do this, do that, and ask a million things. Look, I'm giving him lots of chances in the mitzvahs, and the kid's had enough. Right? Then he's going to say, I'm not going to do it. Now you're causing the kid to sin. So is that what you really want? So a parent has to balance, you know, and sometimes certain kids you know listen and certain kids don't listen. Why did you ask, how come you didn't ask me to do it? You didn't ask Chaim Yankel to do it.
It's not fair.
You know? So what the answer parent should say is, you know what? See how much I love you. I want you to get the mitzvah. So why don't you love him the same way? You know? So, you know. You know, that
joys of parenting.
You know, what are you going to say? He doesn't listen to you. You should say, what are you complaining about? She just said, what are you complaining about? You're getting all the mitzvah. You know, you're getting all the mitzvah. Would you want to give it up? Tess, here's an interesting halacha. V'amaka b'no gadol. What if a parent, now parent can, we didn't get to this yet, parent is allowed to hit a child for discipline reasons, at least in the days of the Rambam. I'm not saying now, but in the days of the Gemara, you could hit a child reasonably, not abuse a child. Okay, but what if you want to hit your boy who's an older boy already? Then we don't like that at all. Minadino Saul, such a father is excommunicated. He's distant from the community. We don't sit within 4 hours of the fellow. He's treated as he's totally excommunicated. Why? Because he's transgressed the commandment of before the blind, you shall not place a stumbling block. Now, especially with an older kid is less likely to take the demands of a parent of throwing the yoke on the kid, and he may not stand up to his yetzer hara, and it could be he would hit his father. Yeah, if a father hits his kid, well, it get a certain age, the kid will hit the father back. You know, so that if he hits the father back, what happens if he wounds the father? We already learned he gets the death penalty. So now you've placed the stumbling block to the father. And that was the Shifcha of Rebbe. When she saw a man hit his older son, she said, the maid servant of Rebbe said, you should be excommunicated. I guess she was a chashuva maid servant, right? Now, how old you gotta be? Interesting. Rashi in Kiddushin says the age is 22 or 24. That's quite an older age.
That's the majority age that's attained.
He's big enough to not like being told what to do. Okay, I think nowadays we'd have to lower that age considerably.
I guess it's been his bar mitzvah majority.
No, it means big. Rashi learned over there, it means bigger, that he's big and tough. I don't know if a 13-year-old can necessarily stand up to his father, but a 22-year-old guy, he's a mamish and adult. He can stand up to his father. He'll take his father on and punch him out. And if you ever watch those old westerns, you know, the abusive parents, abusive father. You know, in the old western days, I thought a good father beats his kid up all the time. And one day the kid just takes a gun and shoots his father.
You know? Not Pa Cartwright, though.
No, Pa Cartwright would never do that. It's the James brothers, you know.
Right.
James Jr., you know. But so you have to be careful. Now, if the son's married, even if he's less than 22 and 24, he's definitely called a gadol. So you got to realize, it gets to a certain point when your children are married, you know, they have a certain... You know, when the kid's younger, okay, he's not so particular about his own honor. But the guy gets older, he's a mensch. He can't just, you know, heap it on. And hitting him already, that's already going beyond over here. You could always ask, you know, to do you favors, you know, to give you water, things like that, take you to the doctor. We're talking about hitting your kid already. Hitting your kid, you know, you don't be surprised you get a volatile response from that.
I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
I appreciate we said before that before they reach that age, you're permitted to hit. But doesn't that teach the child that hitting is the way to deal with frustration? And
I understand. Doesn't Besdin lash people? In a regular Torah world, you ate treif. Somebody warned you, and there are witnesses. What do we do to that person in a Torah society? We lash him 39 times.
Right.
So what does that mean? You know what? That's the way a person learns that he's not supposed to do it. Because it's the Yetzer Hara that gets you to do it. So you got to smash out the Yetzer Hara. So as a parent, you have an obligation to make sure the child doesn't do these behaviors.
The child's not going to hit the base then. Like, I mean, it's not... So
a little child's not going to hit his father. Oh, no. You know, if a father says, okay, Chaim Yaakov, I warned you already 10 times, you're not supposed to paint the baby. Okay, you're really not supposed to take the paintbrush and done it. And you've done it many times, and I've warned you. And I said, if you're going to do it again, I'm going to have to pot you. Okay, now you know what? You got to do it, man. You have to do it. I'm not talking, you know, letting your anger, and it can't ever be done with anger and any of those things. You know, you're methodically and calmly saying, okay, you understand the reason I'm doing this is because your Yetzer Hara is getting a hold of you, and we have to patch that Yetzer Hara out. And bad behavior has to be punished. You know, okay, today I'm not saying we're capable of, again, I maintain, if you can hit a child calmly and 100% with love, you know, I still think it's a valuable thing, and you won't have to do it often if you do it once or twice. Once I did it with the older kids, I never had to do it with the younger kids. After Morty. Morty got it once. Just once. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, just the first four. Yeah, just the first four. That's it. I never had to do it afterwards. They knew. They knew. The older one said, I was going to do it. He's going to do it. That was it. Mamash, I haven't had to touch a kid in, I don't know, it's highest, it's already 23 years. I haven't had to touch a kid. You know, because they know. You know, there's a Masara. You know, that Abba does it. Okay? So, you know, but you have to be careful because most people can't control themselves and they get just violently abusive. And then the mama shouldn't do it. And that's why the Gedolim generally say, remember, Gedolim, when they make a ruling, they have to figure everybody's hearing what they're saying. So, and we'd say the vast majority of parents should not hit their children because they will not do it for the right reasons. They're across the board, they say you shouldn't. Everybody shouldn't. Okay, that's now. Well, I was a parent 35 years ago, so it was a little different 35 years ago. But still, he could. With the right way, it can be done. But not with an older kid. Even with an older kid, you do not hit an older kid, because that will be asking for lots of trouble. Okay, shkoyach, guys. So we finished testing.